Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Good day, Internet.
Hey, good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, O&JJ Stone, a.k.a. O-Doctor.
Good afternoon, Internet, and day, too, because day is part of the afternoon.
Yeah. We often run so into the idea of, like, day meaning 24 hours means you could use it anytime, or day meaning when the sun's up.
Oh.
You know.
Then good morning, noon, and night, yeah. Internet.
It's still a good day, even at midnight.
I'll get it down. I'll figure it out. I'm working on it.
How's it going?
Tom Merritt, looks like you got a little bit of a haircut.
I got them all cut, Sarah.
I like it. I look good.
Thanks. Yeah, I chopped it right back down. I was like, this hair keeps coming up. Get rid of it. And they said,
hey,
all right.
Hey,
yep.
Calm down with your luxurious hair stories, all right? Us bald people don't need to hear your tales.
Yeah, Sarah,
of how
I wasn't
going
to call attention to it.
How it just keeps growing and you just got to trim it and tame it down, you know? we get it. You grow hair, Tom Merritt.
Yeah, do I grow hair? Oh, you don't even know.
It's your show. Don't get me upset. Okay. I will walk off the stage.
I feel like I should like wear a hat or something now.
Something.
Yeah, Sarah, why are you hair shaming right now?
God, I said Tom looked nice. That's
how
all I did.
How dare you?
I refuse to accept any compliments from Tom Merritt. I don't know if you noticed about me, Sarah.
All right, it triggers you know what? In hindsight, it was poor judgment.
Yeah,
it was bad form.
Thinking.
Yeah, Tom's poor attempt to be bald like me today because he knew I was going to be on the show.
That's right. Doesn't work if we call attention to it.
It's like a joke. Like the best jokes are the ones that are explained.
That's right. Right? That's a principle of comedy. Always explain your jokes. It makes them funnier.
Yeah, like if someone doesn't laugh, you're like, well, hold on, you well, just hold listening. On. You'll laugh. Here, let me do this again.
Yeah.
Let me explain it in the painstaking detail in order to pull the laughter out of it.
Right.
And mansplaining was born.
Man's first instinct.
Man
was
first
to
flight
explain.
To Florida.
There's a lady on TikTok that does husbandsplaining.
Ah.
And she tries to explain husbands' activities and behaviors to wives. And first time I watched it, I was like, okay, this is going to be dumb. No, she's part 10 in the series, and she's been right every time. So
yeah, I saw one episode of that where the husband put the egg, a loose egg, on top of the egg carton.
Yeah.
And she was like, I was about to freak out at my husband, but I thought to myself, let me ask him why he's doing this first before telling him, why are you just leaving eggs out? And he's like, well, because there were two cartons, and there was only one egg left, and I didn't want it to sit there and take up space, so I put that egg on top,
that was
so it was
my
the
guess.
Newest egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, I had to explain that so I didn't yell at my husband because I was going to yell at him. Don't do this, women. Ask your husband questions.
I'm sorry. I missed the very first part of this. Is this a show about
TikTok?
It's a TikTok series.
Series about husband explaining instead of man explaining. She explains why husbands do the dumb things they do so wives don't.
See, I don't think that's dumb. If someone did that, I'd be like, I get it. There was an egg left and there's no room for it in the carton.
Yeah, the premise was that I was watching it and I was expecting it to be dumb, trash or whatever. But she was actually correct and she's on part 10 of the series and every time has been like, yeah, that's why we have, you know, that's why we have chair pants, because they're not dirty, but they're not clean. You know,
oh no, we have chair pants, or we have, we got to keep them off the floor over other pieces.
My
of
chairs
furniture.
Are wearing pants.
Yeah. Sofa pants.
Yeah, what's going on with the chair pants?
Yeah,
so, I don't know anything about that.
You had to be there. It's all commonsensical.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't want to put them in dirty clothes because they're not dirty. They can be worn again, but they're not clean, so you're not going to hang them up in the closet. But you can't put them on the floor because that gets us in trouble.
You hang pants in the closet?
I do. Yeah, I hang everything in the closet.
Yeah. Yeah, there's special coat hangers or coat hangers, hangers just for.
No, I mean the only pants I ever hang are like dress pants.
So the pants in their limbo land are chair only.
But also, yeah. You like, just said that you do hang pants in the closet.
No, yeah, like just dress pants. Okay. Every other those pants, are pants goes in the drawer.
Yeah.
So clearly, people hang pants differently.
Even Roger King hangs pants.
No, nobody is right or wrong.
We all hang our pants on the same way.
I don't think I hang any pants these days. There's probably some dress pants, like
I guess
a pair
I
or something
do,
in my
like,
closet.
Suit pants for if I have a suit.
Dress pants are all hanging.
Yeah.
But Dory LaForge.
But you're not talking about dress pants, Amos, right? You're not like wearing dress pants and then being like, shouldn't put them back in the closet, but they're fine again for this chair tomorrow.
This is
like jeans.
Dress, see, that's the thing about dress
jeans.
Pants. You can't
jeans.
Really wash. You have to dry clean dress pants.
Well, you don't have to, but.
I mean,
this is why hive minds are terrible, because the premise of this conversation, the way it started and to what we have devolved into, is pure insanity. Now we don't know whose pants are hanging or chairing. Like whose pants? What is
and
the
how,
criteria?
How long do they?
Who
how long do
the
they
pants
stay
on
chair pants?
So one
you're, day.
You're allowed.
No,
to wear
no.
Chair.
So the rule of
one
thumb
week?
Is the rule of thumb is you what keep wearing pants until they are no longer comfortable or they're just you know.
How many times can you, Sarah? How many times can you wear a pair of jeans before washing them?
I mean, I could go a week if the weather conditions were correct.
Yeah, chair pants for a week.
Yeah, if you're not
five wears, nice 5 days. Yeah. That's a good average. That's a good number. Five days, 5 wears.
I guarantee you, someone in the audience just now went ugh about at that, and someone else was like 5. I wear them a lot longer.
I wear them for a month. You have to peel them off me when I'm done.
No, my chair pants usually last 2 or 3 days, and they never exceed laundry. So anytime laundry's done, all the chair pants are gathered up.
How long
do
your chair pants last? Send us an email. Feedback.
This is also like if you were to say, how long could jeans last? If I was like, I took a really long walk in a park and it was windy today, I'd probably be like, wash them. You know, there's dirt around and stuff.
This is an averaging question. This is just an averaging
just an average question.
Five days, 3 months.
Weather permitting, 5 days is fine. And underwear are also involved here, people. If that was not clear.
I do underwear every time as a barrier, right?
Yes. There are no chair underwear.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I'm sure
although,
it exists,
if anyone out there listening, please let us know if you have chair underwear.
Feedback at dailydeadnewsshow.com.
Now
I want
free.
You to know, actually, Sarah.
I'm free balling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still waiting for the self-cleaning or the never soiled pants. The pants.
All right, I gotta go. I can't.
I almost spit my tea out.
I know it's a free show, but I'm.
I almost hurt myself.
I cancel. This is already too much. This is.
Oh, come on.
It's not you. It's not Amos. It's no one but Tom. It's again.
Let's be clear.
Like you could go out in the world in a physical altercation, get shot 9 times and survive, and then Tom just comes and just that quick little stab under his breath, and then that's what puts it over the edge. You know, I could have survived, but you know, Tom is just that quick. Like, pss, pss, pss. They'll always throw the extra jab in there.
Was it a jab?
It's always
fair,
a jab.
Owen,
to be fair, that's probably your best pun ever, Tom.
It was a good one. I mean,
that's the problem that they're good. I'm
right.
I'm
no, he wouldn't care otherwise.
Yeah, I'm not used. That's why I don't like Tom Merritt.
Owen's like, if they sucked, we just ignore him.
Yeah. Exactly.
Owen's smothering in his own jealousy right now is what's happening.
Look, I am used to being the prettiest belle of the ball when it comes to humor. And then Tom comes in all the time with his little stabby moments and everybody ha-has because Tom's so witty and smart. And I can't stand it.
Yeah,
I just can't.
Have you thought of raising
maybe
your
the rest
own
of us should stop
game?
Laughing at these things?
We
know?
Can't
maybe
stop
Tom
laughing because he's too good. That's the problem.
Owen has made a point of coming to my house, spending time with me in order to make sure that I know just how much he doesn't like this.
His lovely wife, his sister, the dog,
by the way,
everyone.
Eileen says hello.
Everyone in that household is lovely. Minus the Tom.
Except
Tom is the worst. Yeah. Just can't.
Jeez. Tough crowd.
You should have seen him that day when he showed up thinking you were on the show that day and you weren't.
Oh, it was very upsetting, Sarah. I was duped. Led astray.
Glad I didn't sleep in all day today.
To be honest, on my part, I never really explicitly said who was going to be on the show. I just wanted to be on TV.
I know. I know how the setup works. That's how they reel you in.
The long con.
That's right. It is. Wait till I get here. I didn't know until I heard, and sadly today, no Sarah Lane. And I'm like, well, I've already introduced myself. I'm committed. I can't just leave the chair spinning.
I appreciate our bond.
That's right.
Never be on the show without me. I will now in the future be offended if you are.
It's
exactly.
Contract. Yeah.
I try. You know, sometimes they try to trap me, Sarah. I just tried to let you know how they.
Oh, I know. I know about around. Getting trapped. I think I don't. What do you think, Otis? Did I trap you? He says, no, I trapped you.
He thinks that. Yeah.
I mean,
We got some Microsoft earnings. Were they anything interesting?
I saw that a couple minutes ago.
Revenue up
20%. People made a bunch of money.
Net income 21%. PC market had a big year thanks to the pandemic. Windows revenue up 25%. I mean, this isn't bad. I'm just saying there's nothing surprising in here.
Yeah. I mean, everybody else you look at today is bad. Like
they said Surface might take a hit this quarter and it didn't. So that I guess that's the thing where Microsoft was unsure if Surface revenue would be good, but it was still up 8%, which is shocking. But Xbox up 10% year over year.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd probably save it till tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm not parsing it a bit.
Yeah, we could parse it and see if there's anything like dig into it a little more. But there's nothing in these surface numbers because that's not what I meant. There's nothing on the surface of the. Just a quick glance at this story, and I don't think I see anything worth tearing up.
Now I'm mad at you, Tom. I'm actually mad at you.
Tom's all defensive about his unintentional puns.
he's like, oh, that was clever.
It's not a pun.
See, I've been on a 10-year or now 12-year campaign just trying to let people know what I know.
Let me assure you, that was not a fun.
Yeah, see, it's all cute and games until it strikes you in your home.
Yeah. Ooh, Cardi B just won $4 million in a libel suit.
That's nice.
What, like against a
YouTuber named Tasha K.
Oh, this I don't know about.
Yeah.
$4 million from a YouTuber? Like, that's...
I mean, I would say the YouTuber wouldn't get the money, but I mean, I don't know what kind
depends,
of... Hey, you
right?
never know. Depends on the YouTuber,
yeah.
right?
Like, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, if that YouTuber's making a quarter mil a year, that, you know, 4 years, you got your money back.
Yeah. And libel, you gotta prove not only was it false, but the person knew it was false and did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was over the whole she allegedly had robbed somebody or something, and somebody made a TikTok
list of stuff. Yeah. Well, good for Cardi. My favorite presidential scholar.
Oh, presidents.
I forgot that about her. Yeah.
She is. She's a big fan of presidential history.
Yep.
Learned that from Justin Robert Young.
I didn't mean
to kill the mood by saying the word president.
Oh, it's not even that.
No, it's the word history that did it, Tom.
I don't know.
Yes.
If you said like, oh, presidential car wash.
Boo, learning. If there's anything this show is against, it's people learning things.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Aren't you tired yet?
That's our new slogan, helping you not understand.
Helping you misunderstand.
Last week just left a bad taste in my mouth about our current president. So I'm just, I heard president. I'm like,
there's no winning when you bring up the word president.
No,
that'd help you anyway.
You know what does make you feel like a winner?
What's that, Sarah?
Listening to Daily Tech News Show.
Well, then we should do an episode of it right now.
I was thinking.
That's a great idea. All right.
Cool.
Is everyone ready?
Yes.
Set.
I'm going to count us in.
Engage.
Here we go. In 3, 2. Coming up on DTNS, Owen J.J. Stone is here to help us understand when we can start paying attention to 8K. Is it soon? Plus, NVIDIA may lay down ARM. And Google has an even nicer way of tracking you for ads. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, January 25th, 2022. In Los Angeles, I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Redwood, I'm Sarah Lane.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
Joining us, Owen J.J. Stone, a.k.a. O-Docta. You can text him right now, 844-986-4563.
That's giving, a real number.
You're giving out that number to everybody. That's so cool.
I like when people say hi to me. Say hi to me and join my revolution against Tom Merritt, where I come on his own show to start a revolution.
This is the problem
text
with Owen.
Me now.
I've been doing a newsletter. I'm like, email me and I'll email you. Owen has to big time me and be like, well, you can text me. It's even easier.
You get right to the captain of the ship over here, baby. I mean, Tom Merritt's too big time. I'm still a small fry in the bottom of the bag. You know what I mean? I'm the extra fry in the bottom of the bag. I'm here for you. When you have everything else, you reach back in there, and I'm still waiting on you, brother.
I upset Owen before the show with a heartbreaking pun. You can find out more about that in the long version of the show, Good Day Internet, available at patreon.com/DTNS. Let's start with things you should know. I was supposed to say. Sorry, Sarah, go.
That's fine. I just wanted to thank a couple of our top patrons first. High Tech Oki, Martin James, and David Mosher.
Why am I so messed up? It's because Owen's here and he got me off my game.
See, Owen?
I'm so happy about
it's
this.
It's working.
When Tom messes up,
watch
it brings
Tom
joy to my heart.
Down.
Oh, it's great.
On
it's
this so, episode of DTNS.
It's already a perfect show. Let's go.
All right, let's start with a few tech things you actually should know. The cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase is adding a new tax center to help U.S. customers figure out how much they may owe the IRS. Oh, what fun. The new section gathers every taxable transaction, showing a personalized summary of a customer's taxable activity on Coinbase, broken out over time by realized gains or losses and miscellaneous income, with the information able to be used with tax software.
Microsoft issued a warning that hundreds of Office 365 customers are getting phishing emails trying to trick them into granting OAuth permission. That would let attackers read and write email, post to their calendar, read and write their contacts. The app that requests the permission is just called Upgrade and appears to come from a verified publisher. So it's kind of hard to detect if you're not paying close attention. Microsoft has deactivated the malicious app in Azure AD. This is a type of attack called consent phishing, which tricks the user just into granting access by clicking OK without having to actually hand over a password.
Signify announced 3 new Philips Hue outdoor smart lights with HomeKit support coming March 1st. HomeKit, among others. The Inara features an Edison-style bulb for outdoor use, $100 for that. The Philips Hue Luca will offer white and color-changing lights, also $100. And then the Resonate wall light will go for $160. All 3 lights require the Hue Bridge and do work with the Hue app, HomeKit, as I mentioned, Google Home, Amazon service, and Samsung SmartThings. The Hue app will soon offer new candle and fireplace effects for all bulbs as well.
Oh, nice. YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki's quarterly update revealed the platform was going to test new ways for YouTube Shorts, which is kind of their TikTok, Instagram Reels type thing, to make money for creators through Brand Connect. and is in the early phases of testing how shopping can be integrated with Shorts. The platform is also looking at ways to support NFTs. Wojcicki continues to defend YouTube's hiding of public dislike accounts, saying the feature was harming parts of the ecosystem through dislike attacks, though she did not specify whether the ecosystem refers to creators or corporations.
The Ethereum Foundation has decided to change the name of Ethereum 2.0 to the Consensus Layer. That part of the network handles smart contracts and network rules, aka the Ethereum 1.0, and will now be called the Execution Layer. The point of the exercise is to make the transition from proof of work, which uses a lot more power, to proof of stake. Once the new system is ready to replace the old mining system, the two layers will merge and go back to being just plain old Ethereum. Hope you were taking notes. The name change will help prevent scams that try to imply that there are two Ethereum networks being created, which isn't the case.
Yeah, calling it Ethereum 2.0 when it was just going to get merged back was probably confusing. So that makes sense to me. All right, let's talk a little more about NVIDIA. Bloomberg sources saying they might just abandon their attempt to acquire chip designer ARM from SoftBank. That deal was agreed upon in September 2020 and has been awaiting regulatory approval, which may now never come. NVIDIA reportedly told partners it does not expect the transaction to close. SoftBank is reportedly prepping an IPO for ARM just in case that doesn't happen. So I guess SoftBank's move, if NVIDIA decides to abandon the deal, is to just spin out ARM as a public company. Companies including Qualcomm, Intel, and Google claimed ARM could not maintain independence under NVIDIA and would therefore harm competition. So they were pushing regulatory agencies to prevent the merger. NVIDIA promised to sell ARM licenses to all, but apparently that didn't convince anybody. In October, the EU began an investigation of the deal over competition concerns. The UK began its own investigation in November on antitrust and national security grounds. And in December, the US sued to prevent the merger over concerns it would stifle innovation. So a tall order for NVIDIA to try to surmount. China hadn't even got into it yet. China had expressed concerns and probably would have opposed the merger, but it doesn't even look like it'll get that far. Publicly, NVIDIA is not saying anything yet, still saying it believes the deal provides an opportunity to accelerate ARM and boost competition and innovation. But Bloomberg says writing's on the wall.
I wonder. I know that there is a breakup fee, which is really commonplace in these sorts of acquisitions that don't end up going through. And if this doesn't end up going through, who suffers more here? You know, is it ARM? Is it NVIDIA? And I mean, I suppose it's, you know, people who care about products from both companies. But it seems like ARM may suffer from this unless there's a really great IPO to be seen in the future.
Yeah. So according to this real quick, it's NVIDIA paid a fee that SoftBank gets to keep if the deal doesn't go through.
Yeah. Which I think is $2 billion, which not uncommon, you know, because it's sort of like, okay, we all have good faith that we really want this to happen. And if we spend a lot of time and resources and legal fees and it doesn't happen, then somebody walks away with some money. But yeah, I wonder how this might be bad news going forward, because clearly, you know, a lot of folks didn't think it was a great idea.
In the simplest terms, why didn't the argument just have their hands up like this and say, but Apple, could you help us out? Like, we're trying to, we have to make some things happen where they're trying to merge and get together. Like, there's a reason we're going to sell to everybody. Cause trust me, we need more money. So I don't know, the IPO in this market and this climate, good luck.
Yeah. I feel like my instinct is that SoftBank gets hurt the most by this, because SoftBank was the one trying to cash out. ARM would have benefited from increased resources from NVIDIA there, but I don't think it hurts ARM as much. And in some ways, it may be better because, as the US FTC phrased it, ARM is the Switzerland of the chip world, and this keeps them in that position. Now, if doing an IPO doesn't bring in enough money for them to fuel further innovation and ARM starts to go into a long, slow Intel-like decline, I guess that would be the worst case scenario that I could think of. But I don't think suddenly ARM just collapses overnight. I don't get the sense that they're in that bad of a situation. So it's bad for NVIDIA because they're out a couple billion dollars and they don't get ARM. It's probably good for the chip sector in general, because even if NVIDIA was the best behaving possible, it was still consolidation, no matter how you looked at it. And it's bad for SoftBank because they wanted the money.
And if ARM's IPO, if ARM does fall off for some odd reason, then they could go back later on and be like, hey, well, we're here again if you want to.
Who wants us? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Like we're trying to buy you now. Like somebody's going to, either way, it'll be fine. There'll be innovation. There'll be creation. And if they falter, someone will be there to scoop them up, probably at a discount.
Yeah.
Recoup that $2 billion.
But then it becomes who would be allowed? Who would, not even who would be allowed, who would do it after seeing NVIDIA go through all this for more than a year?
Oh, that's true too.
Yeah.
Well, Google's been in the process of looking for products to replace what we all know as cookies, splitting the difference between privacy, which some people care about very much, and ad tracking, which other people care about very much. Google's first idea was called Federated Learning of Cohorts, or Flock, that would have added you, based on data that Google knew about you, into a group of people who had similar preferences. That way, an advertiser would only really know that they were showing an ad to a group of people. Maybe Owen and I both like dogs, and we both recently bought a car. We might be in the same group there. Tracking IDs would apply to that group, but not the individual themselves. However, there were concerns that Flock could be used to help form a browser fingerprint or otherwise deduce other information about any user. So Edge, Mozilla, Brave, and Vivaldi all declined to implement it in their browsers. Google just announced, okay, we've decided to stop development of Flock and replace it with a new attempt we're calling Topics. In this new system, your browser, let's say you're using Chrome, keeps track of what categories of websites that you're visiting fall into. Sensitive categories like gender or race aren't tracked, but something like team sports or rock fan might be. So might know your music habits, might know what kind of sports you're into. Google says there'll be about 350 such categories to start, though that will expand over time to a few thousand. And your browser will keep this categorical data for 3 weeks, and then it'll delete it. It will never be stored on a server, but it will remain local to your device. Google categorized major websites and will also use some in-browser machine learning to determine the categories of other sites going forward. Still in its infancy here. The ad-serving side of this works as follows. When you visit a site that supports the Topics API, the browser will look at your top five most visited categories from each of the past 3 weeks and choose one from each week at random to share with that site. Maybe I looked at a lot of sports and music things and linen sheets, you know, gets one. The site will then share ads on the page that targets people also interested in those topics. In Chrome, you'll be able to see what topics are in the list, so you're not in the dark about this. And then you can remove them if you want to. You can also turn off the Topics API altogether if you so desire. Google plans to trial the Topics API starting at the end of this quarter, so pretty soon. And if you're in for, if you're kind of like, nah, still don't like it, do not track me, you're not happy with Topics either. But it does seem like Google is trying to come to a place where privacy-focused folks would feel a little bit more comfortable with this. Owen, what do you think?
I live in a world where I don't care about the cookies anymore. I don't care. You're tracking me, and the things are free. If I'm that worried about you tracking my browsing history, there's other ways that I can get around doing that. At this point, I don't want to have to click off your topics. I don't have to say, I don't want this topic in my group. I don't really want you serving my topics to people that are my friends. I just want cookies to stay cookies and just going about your day. I don't need Flocks. I don't need Topics. I don't like it. I don't like change. I'm a 72-year-old man, and I'm grumping on this whole idea. It's terrible. I don't like it. We're against
it. But I mean, it's it definitely depends on how you use the internet, but There was a day where we all complained about ads, just ads, stupid ads everywhere. Most ads that I see now are targeted toward me, and sometimes it's pretty obvious why. Oh, I just looked at that website, and now it's, you know, in my Facebook feed. But sometimes it's a little bit more like, huh, how, what, why am I in this, you know, how'd they get me here? And so I feel like this is Google's way of kind of saying, we're not trying to target you that specifically, but if you're interested in how this is working, here's how it's working.
again, I rebuttal with the grumpy old man. I don't trust it. You know what bothers me most about tracking, right? I buy a watch. They know that I went online. They know that I bought this watch. For 92 days, I see the ad to say, buy this watch. And I'm like, I already bought this watch. So unless Topics allows me to click off of that one thing and say, stop showing me that, which I've already spent my money on. Okay, if it does that,
it actually would do that. It actually would do that, Owen, because it wouldn't have the cookie that tells them you bought the watch, and it would look at your recently visited sites and notice, like, oh, he hasn't been going to watch sites anymore. He must have bought the watch. Let's show him something else.
As a 72-year-old man, I have learned things on this planet. I have revised my position. I am not ignorant. I am all for Topics. Give me Topics today.
Yeah, I think what I like about it is that you can just turn it off if you don't like it, and it knows less about you than cookies. However, if you're coming at it from the other side of, I don't want it to know anything about me, will this prevent that? No. There's certainly ways people could use it, but they do make it very difficult to build a profile of you, because this isn't even identifying you as part of a group. It's just saying when you go to the website, oh, if you want to show an ad, here are three topics you could show ads for. And it won't be the same three topics every time you visit that site, right? It'll change because it's random every time. So that makes it harder to build a profile around people. But of course, you know what's more secure? Just first party ad that says, oh, I'm at a site that sells watches. Maybe advertise the watch to this person, and don't advertise the watch if I'm not at a site that sells watches.
I mean, I complain myself back into it, so I'm fine now, and I'll give it a try. I just didn't want to have to do anything else. I'm already mad when I got to accept cookies. Like, you're making me do work. I came here to
get rid of that too. You wouldn't have the cookie stuff anymore because they wouldn't be setting cookies anymore.
I mean, exactly. That alone is worth the price of admission.
I am back on board. We are flocking and grouping and tagging and all the things.
Topics.
As Google ends their flock, Twitter begins one. Input Magazine reports that engineer Alessandro Paluzzi found code in the Twitter app describing a close friends feature. If you've noticed, Instagram has a close friends feature that lets you share stories with a list of people that you create instead of just to anybody who follows you. Twitter shared design concepts for a similar thing they were calling trusted friends last July, but Paluzzi just found a description in the code that calls it Twitter Flock, although this one's spelled F-L-O-C-K. It says you can add up to 150 people to a flock. You can keep it just two if you want, but you can have up to 150. When you post to your flock, only those people in your flock will be able to see you and reply to your post. People will not be notified if they're removed from your flock, so they'll just stop seeing those and they'll never notice otherwise. Paluzzi also found a label on posts that says, you can see this tweet because the author has added you to their flock. So they will know if they're seeing a post because they're in your flock, but they won't know if you remove them. Twitter told The Verge that flock is a placeholder name, but it didn't share any more news about the feature.
It would seem like a pretty obvious one if that was the name at the end of all of this. But okay, whatever flock ends up being, in concept, I like this. This is not how I use Twitter. I figure anything that I say on Twitter, it's like, you're either going to get it or you're going to like it or you don't, or you see it later and it doesn't apply to you. And that's fine. It's the Wild West. But Twitter is trying, and with a rollout of lots of different products, has been trying to be much more of a focused way to use a social network as, a place for news, a place to talk to friends, you know, the DTNS, we could have our own flock, or that sort of thing. Stuff that a lot of other companies have already offered services for. A lot of the stuff that Twitter talks about, I still want to know, what team out there is like, yep, Twitter's suite of services are the way that we go. And because it seems a little bit too little too late as far as Twitter goes, but I don't know. It's always good to give people options where, for example, I have a group of friends who have their Twitter accounts locked. I mean, they can say that it's okay that I follow them and then I can see their tweets, but it kind of breaks the service overall. So this seems like some sort of a bridge between the two.
Show title, Grumpier Old Men. I mean, I tweet the way that I tweet, and at some point, I got to click through 92 levels of things. I've got to select now who can reply, don't reply. I've got to put in a poll. My location's off. My location's on. Draft, not draft. Like, I go there to be grammatically incorrect, say the dumbest thing possible, and hope that it catches fire and a million people retweet it, okay?
Yeah.
That's what Twitter is for. And again, like you said, too little, too late. You're trying to throw all this garbage into the kitchen sink at me now when I'm here because guess what? I could cultivate my own group. I'm only following like 600 people. You know what I mean? Those are the people that I need to hear and listen to. If you want to be willy-nilly and follow 150,000 celebrities, that's on you. If you want to, again, the only thing I heard that was great about that is if you have a group of people that listen to your podcast or your show or they're influencers maybe, and you want to say, hey, we got this new product. You guys get to see it first or something like that. Cool. I guess throw it in there because Twitter's going to do what they want to do. But at the end of the day, it's just too much stuff in my Twitter. Now I got to be a Twitter blue. I got to but the premium. You should have been
happy. You don't have to do any of that stuff, right?
Tom, I have to do it all because once they put it in there, it's like drugs. I got to try it. It's free. Tom, you know what I mean? It's a gateway drug. I got to try it, baby. You know, that's how they get you.
The thing I'll say is
not to cone
in defense of Flock would be like the old Twitter. People talk about, man, it used to be you could just talk to your friends on Twitter and you didn't have all these random people coming in because it didn't have that big of a user base. Flock would let you simulate that where you could just be like, here are the people I want to talk to. Sometimes I want to talk to the entire world, but sometimes I want to say something and I don't need everybody jumping in because they're not going to get it.
iMessage.
Yeah.
iMessage. Sorry.
I mean, honestly, that's the problem, right? That's where I end up back where you are, Rowan, is like, but people don't use Twitter for that. So
yeah,
they use group chats. They use Telegram. They use Signal.
But also WeChat. There are people that I'm friends with on Twitter, not as the only social network, but Twitter as an example, where I'm like, I don't really even know their number or like put in us, the five people that I think would like my tweet on a group chat would seem a little strange because we're already on Twitter. That's where this kind of thing comes into play. How much this would replace group texts, I don't know.
Yeah.
The last question. Will others be able to see that you created a flock? Like, will they say, oh, Sarah's created two flocks? And I'll tell you what, if I'm not in those flocks, I'll be offended. This is a verbal contract that I will be included in your flock, Sarah.
I will get the sense that you only create one flock, though. So if you want bigger stuff, you get communities and you do a community.
That's when you go to Twitter Blue and you get an extra flock. You got to pay $4.99. You get a bonus flock. You get two flocks.
So many flocks. Well, hey, folks, if you would like more DTNS, you're like, I don't need more Flocks, but I want more DTNS. Nikki Ackerman's Dr. Nikki has the latest installment of her Scientist in Tech miniseries out. She interviewed a researcher who uses drones to help map out ancient Pueblo archaeological sites. And if you're like, where do I find that? Right here in the DTNS feed. Check out this past weekend and listen in. It's really good. Enjoy.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model in the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running.
From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
All right, 4K is the current standard for high-def video, whether you're talking about displays, you're talking about content that's going onto an eventual display. But 8K offers a pretty big jump in resolution. In fact, it's like going from 1080p to 4K, 4K to 8K. Now, everybody who listens to DTNS has certainly heard of 8K, but for many of us, still too pricey, kind of hard to find the good stuff. So when will 8K be necessary? And will it be necessary? Owen, you're here with us, so you know we're going to put you in the hot seat to tell us all about how you as a photographer feel about 8K and how it needs to be embraced by the greater human race.
So as you heard earlier, I'm a man of strong convictions until I get instant feedback that turns my mind. But previously, I just bought a camera to do work, and I was like, I only need 4K. I don't need 8K. Nobody displays 8K. Nobody really uses 8K. I don't need it. And I spent $5,000 on a camera. And then 3 weeks later, a new 8K camera came out, and I just was like, I think I need 8K. Now, displays are really expensive. No one's streaming 8K or anything yet, but I'm like, do I have FOMO? Am I missing out, like, on the future? Should I future-proof myself? And that's what I told myself. I need to future-proof myself.
Well, and that I think a lot of people feel like, well, okay, if we're going in this direction, that's if you got the cash, future-proofing is, you know, a great way to upgrade some of the things that you really care about. But as far as the person who is watching in 8K, right now, if you're shooting in 8K with your really nice camera and you'd like somebody to reap the rewards of that, I mean, how many people are really doing so?
No one is reaping the rewards unless you're at the Comcast building and you've got 42 screens and there's a 3D lion coming out of you, the wall. No one is actually really reaping the benefits of it. And that's sad. Also, you could barely get true 4K streaming. I tried to upgrade YouTube to 4K. I didn't see any difference. I downgraded. It doesn't matter. This show right now, people watch you and love you, and we're probably in 720p or 1080, and people have no problem with it on their phone. So it's not even that you could even use it in most circumstances. But I do have a situation where 8K is super viable and could work really well for a lot of people.
All right. I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not good enough for my TV. It's not good enough for my YouTube. What is it good for then?
So I had to shoot an interview of a cast for a play, and there were 10 people. And I was like, all right, I'm going to set up 3 cameras and run all this stuff. And I realized that one of my cameras is 8K, though I never use it. I shot an 8K, and I turned out each person's frame would be 1080.
Ah.
So I could punch in to 1080 from the 4K resolution.
Just gives you more options later.
Yes, and that's where it works out, because you can up-res 1080 to 2K, which is basically fake 4K, and it looks really good. And I'm like, ah. That is a good reason to use 8K, just for the zoom and crop factor. You know, when people like to punch it on the YouTube videos, you'd actually zoom right into an eye and it'll still be crispy. So that's the only value and reason I found to use 8K, because also the media that it eats up is tremendous. And you've got to be a rich person to shoot more than 10 minutes right now. It's just insane.
Yeah.
But that's a good reason. That's a really good reason. I found.
I think that's a really good point, a reminder that when we talk about these new technologies, sometimes we just focus on one use, like, oh, 4K. It's just a marketing term to get me to buy a new TV. Maybe, and probably it will be used for that. But that doesn't mean that it's the only use for 8K, because what you're describing is not an end user benefit, but a creator benefit. For somebody creating content, 8K might be really important, because while when costs get a little cheaper, it simplifies things.
Yep, and you can always scale down and punch in and do things like that. Like when you watch the movies and they're always like, enhance. Enhance really isn't a real thing, but now there's Enhance. Like, yeah, if I just really need to get down to 720, I could put 16 of them on the screen. You know what I mean? So that's the best benefit. That's what I talked myself into spending more money, and I justified it to myself. I said, what if I needed to talk to 10 people all the time and they need their own screen? That's how I convinced myself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's That's a really, really good point that as a creator, you have so much more leeway because you just have these huge files that, sure, I mean, maybe my eyes can't even see 8K, but the fact that there's going to be no discernible artifacts that I will also see with my naked eye, you know, being able to take advantage of this. But is there a situation where I, as the, you know, I'm tired. It's the end of the night. I'd like to watch an 8K movie. Is it at all worth it at this point?
No, it is not. Because are you going to get as buffering errors if you did have an 8K TV and you tried to stream it to look at it?
And there's
like,
no content.
And again, the difference to what you're saying, even still, like that's why the phone, the screen, the resolution doesn't even matter. The screen's so small. You're happy with what you're seeing at 1080 or anything like that. People, 90 hertz, like you can't really tell the difference. I can give you 10 phones. It's hard for you to pick it out unless you're playing a game. So your eyes can't tell the difference. And your screen at home isn't big enough that 4K to 8K, you're going to be like, oh, that's definitely 8K. 4K looks pretty dang gum good when you got true 4K coming through and you're watching like the Animal Planet on Blu-ray or something. Like, I don't know how it could get any better. So right now we're at a standstill of the value of what your brain can consume and realize. I believe. I mean, if you want 8K, look with your own eyes. Don't look at the screen.
4K enabled HDR to work really well. So 4K was handy for a reason that didn't have anything to do with resolution. Maybe something comes along like that with 8K, but we don't know it. We don't see it yet.
Yeah. 4K is pretty perfect right now.
Well, John Lennon, you may have heard of him. He has a couple of sons, and his older son, Julian, is selling memorabilia from his father's personal collection as NFTs. Examples include a black cape from the film Help, handwritten notes by Paul McCartney for the Beatles song Hey Jude, things that, you know, if you were a collector, you might be pretty interested in. But the physical items themselves not being auctioned off. These are NFTs that are audiovisual collectibles of each item, with Julian Lennon himself narrating the story behind each piece.
Okay. All right. I was like, if you're into NFTs, obviously, you know, maybe you're into this. If you're not into NFTs, you're going to scoff at this just like you would anything else. But adding in the narrated story behind the piece, kind of a nice touch. I like that. A little added value.
And the physical item, you know, not being sold off somewhere. Like if it ended up like in a museum one day.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't mind being like, what, the biggest thing about NFTs when you say, oh, it's just art. I wouldn't mind being one of the 10 people that have a digital ownership of the Mona Lisa and it's sitting in the Louvre for the next billion years.
Yeah.
At least I got my little piece of the Louvre, you know? So that's neat.
All right, let's check out the mailbag.
Let's do it. This one comes in from Jeff, who wrote in based on our discussion yesterday about waste heat and the idea of trying to more efficiently use heat and not waste it. Jeff says, I saw an article over the weekend about using waste heat for additional power generation via the thermal electric devices. I'd be excited to see when these types of developments are able to make it down to the consumer level of products. For instance, having thermal electric devices on solar panels could increase panel output by transferring heat buildup on the face of the panels into liquid coolant or disperse it via radiators under the panels. Another potential location in homes could be flue gases from water heaters or furnaces. Those with cooling loads could possibly have these on their AC compressors or even on the outside of the house. Power plants could efficiently utilize this technology, but also things like data centers. Jeff finishes off with, as the joke from James S.A. Corey made when asked, when do the spaceships in the Expanse universe, spaceships in the Expanse universe run on? They replied, efficiency.
Yeah. No, these are good. These are good examples. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that.
Thanks also to our brand new bosses, Thomas Taylor and Wayne Dernancourt, both just started backing us on Patreon. Yay, you're our new bosses of the week. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you, Wayne.
Man, we make a big deal when we get a new boss. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Thomas.
Yeah. Standing O. Also, standing O to Owen J.J. Stone. Oh, Doctor, always good to have you on the show. Let folks know where they can keep up with everything you feel about 8K, 8K and otherwise.
I'm at IQMZ.com, O Doctor on everything. I'm currently building my flock, so the first 150 people, you automatically get put in the flock. That's what it is. That's what it is. I'm out here in these streets.
Well, we're so happy to have you on the show today. Please come back soon and early and often. Reminder to Yeah, Heart Hearts. We're live on this show Monday through Friday. We hope you heart our show every day. That's 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC. You can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. We'll be back doing it tomorrow with Scott Johnson. Talk to you soon.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
You have enjoyed this program.
Fantastic. Good show.
This show is such a well-oiled machine, and here I am just throwing water all over it, messing up stuff.
That was good. It's good. We had several compliments in the chat. People are like, that was a good conversation. And who was it that said, who pointed out that Flock is kind of like Google Circles? Is that
who? I mean, kind of.
Yeah. If they allow you to do more flocks, although Twitter communities is also like Google Circles. Hey, title the show. What do you want us to call the show? Tell us, showbot.tv/DTNS2. If you're in Discord or watching on Twitch, let us know right now. Hurry up. Don't delay.
Get on it.
Yeah. You have a assignment. Do it.
What are you waiting for? Act now.
Yeah. Before it's too late. And we've already given the show a title. Do it now.
It can definitely be too late.
There's lots of arm puns in there, you know, so get in there.
Mm-hmm.
I saw people complimenting your haircut, you know.
Yep.
And the Discordians.
Appreciate it. My barber, David, appreciates it as well.
Good job, David.
Yeah. Wasn't supposed to have David. I was supposed to have Rob. And Rob wasn't there, so I tried David. David did a great job.
My hair stylist she's given me literally a year of advance warning, but she's going to be phasing out of the area that I live in.
Oh, I just like when that happens.
And the thing is like, it's not that, I mean, I have long hair. You just cut, you know, trim off an inch. It's not like it's that hard. I can find somebody to do her job, but she's so good at it and she's so nice and I really enjoy our time. It's like fun to sit in the chair and
it
talk.
Is you,
that's you part a, of the fun of getting a haircut.
You build a good rapport. Long are the days since I had the barbershop joy in my heart, you know. You can get a beard trim.
Yeah.
Me and Amos got the same barber now. It's just us grizzly bears wandering through the woods to find a sharp rock and sit by a lake and peel it back ourselves because we don't get that joy anymore. I mean, I could get my beard done. I do occasionally when I want to feel fancy.
Yeah.
I'm going somewhere special. I do go see the barber and get it all fluffed out properly and all that kind of stuff.
That was the one thing, Robert, my regular barber usually gives me the full on like straight razor and everything. I didn't have David do that. We don't know each other like that yet.
You're not ready for the razor on the neck.
Only person I let give me a straight razor was an old barber. I think he's probably still working. They called him Pops. He was the dad of the barbershop. And he was so old, but man, his hands were steady as a rock.
Yeah.
And them young boys would come at me with a straight razor. I'm like, oh, back up. Put that thing away.
Let's give that a minute.
Yeah. There's something uneasy about that feeling. That first feeling. Oh, that's dangerous lifestyle right there. You want a little thrill? Let's put a razor.
Isn't
that
also
neck.
Like it's a scene in lots of movies where it's like, you know,
high tension.
Where it's like scrape, scrape, and all of a sudden someone's like, "Hello, John," and you're like, "Oh no!"
Yep.
Oh, and here I am.
Yep.
And feeling that, so vulnerable.
And that little stop thing where they just get that little trickle of blood—that's what happens.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When you're going and you stop, it's easy just to have enough pressure.
Yeah.
Because those things are sharp, boy. That's good movie in right there. It's high flute.
My barber is always playing movies up on the wall. And so I'm like, please don't be playing anything exciting. No Avengers Endgame. While we're
that's not when you want NFL playoffs on.
Yeah, right.
So I have the Black Barber experience where we don't worry about excitement. We worry about good content because if the wrong person comes into the shop or the wrong part of a movie comes into the shop, my 30-minute haircut instantly turns into a 45 hour and a half.
Yeah.
Oh, you remember back in 88 when John Johnson, I was like, oh, could you just cut my hair? Mute the TV and cut my hair. We've all seen Denzel do this part. We know what's going to happen. But we all had to stop and enjoy the musings of Denzel Washington.
But would you have it any other way, really?
I mean, I have no choice. Now I do have a choice. I don't have to get my hair cut anymore. But I would suffer because that's part of the experience, yeah. You know? Hanging out and talking stuff like I do when I come and hang out with you guys.
Yeah, we're basically the barbershop of tech news without the barbering.
Exactly.
We're just the shop.
Yeah. Remember tech when news shop. Old Fuzzy Pants used to come in talk tech?
Not to be confused with chair pants.
See, Sarah, I let him hang himself there. You see that? I gave him a pause.
No, I wasn't going to help him either.
Today, Tom's off his game. Today has been a great day for me and my brand.
It's my gift to you.
You must be very tired.
Yeah.
He must be.
How much I love Owen. I'm giving him this horrible day of mine.
He's going to get off and look at his wife and be like, I did it for him.
Yeah.
He needed a win.
He appreciated it.
I know better. I know what's going on. Setup. Man.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know it's a little late for a Christmas present, but
yeah, that's how you get me back on the show. I understand. I guess what? I'm falling for it every second. Carrot,
it's not too late for a Valentine present. Well, that would be very nice. Right. Yeah. You know, like who's captured my heart, Owen? It's you. That's Tom talking.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. No, I got it. Because Otis would be the answer if it was you.
Less exciting when it's Tom.
Right? If it's me, Owen's like, whatever. Yeah. Next.
No. It was you over Tom. You said Tom, and then you just ruined it all. I was all for it. And then you said Tom, and I was like, I guess I'll accept it.
What is
you know?
Apple CEO Tim Cook allegedly threatened by armed woman?
What?
County of Santa Clara gained a temporary restraining order against a woman in Virginia who Apple says has been stalking Tim Cook since 2020.
Oh, wow. She's on a mission.
Erratic, threatening, and bizarre behavior. She entered his property in Palo Alto before being stopped by police. Wow.
I like the erratic threatening. Not the consistent threatening, yeah, the erratic threatening.
If it was orderly threatening, well, it's not as bad, but it was erratic.
You just can't. No,
there was a comma.
You never know when she's going to be.
There was a comma, erratic, comma, threatening, comma, and bizarre.
I just thought she just showed up on Tuesday and then Friday. Like, come on, keep it consistent. Most creepos are consistent. You got to be consistent.
Oh, man.
I couldn't imagine getting in Tim Cook's house. I would imagine the security has like laser beams that come out of the grass and like robotic dogs are just roaming the property where he lives.
What if it was like Home Alone and it's just like, you know, just like very simple, like a paint can on a rope that he swings down and, you know, a bucket full of apples just fall on the assailant.
Series like shooter. Someone might be in the house. I don't know. It's not my job. I mean, you can check it out if you want to, or you don't.
Or it's all the Apple technology that they've never brought, like that just couldn't make it to market or decided to cancel. But they're like these super sophisticated robots that come out of the wall.
That's what I would assume. I would assume he'd have like robot Apple ninjas or something that just sprung out of the lawn.
But they're all managed through iCloud. So you just wait for it to go down. And then you
They created a Tim Cook like Android and it's just an army of Tim Cooks that surround the like, I want to destroy you. And then boom, you know, take the assailant down.
No. Someone should make that an anime short. That would be a great anime short. Robo Cooks. Part four.
You're going to get cooked by Tim.
That's a 1980s action film waiting to happen. Starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. That's the criminal assailant.
Yeah, I'm already
I just don't know how he gets his house.
VHS lines as I'm watching that.
Yeah. hopefully she gets some help because she just seems like she might have other issues at play if you're going after Tim.
For sure.
I don't see this anywhere.
It's on CNET. That's where I saw it. Just 22 minutes ago. CNET's the only one reporting it.
CNET's in my feed, Lee.
Well, and San Jose Mercury News is where CNET's mm-hmm. passing it along from. But yeah, CNET's the only
one. Maybe it's just considered a local story until
San Jose.
I mean, if something were to have happened, then no, it looks it would like this is story. Just,
it's coming. The Mercury News discovered that there was this restraining order. So there's not an incident. It's just that the restraining order got issued and the Mercury News found it when they were doing their normal, let's look through all the court stuff and see if there's anything interesting.
Let's find a story.
Otis says, I like to give people their space, except my mom. She doesn't get any.
You don't want space from Otis.
There was a time where I was like, wow, is this dog really going to give me no personal space? And now I'm like, if he didn't, I'd be like, don't you love me?
Yeah, where'd you go?
This is what works for us. Yeah.
Well, Django, when the first week we had Django, I was in between jobs and she would just come up and stare at me and I'd be like, what do you want? We went outside, we played, I fed you, like what's left?
Yeah,
she
was a puppy, pressure.
Right. So she was just like, what do we do now? And then of course, you know, years later, she would go out all day with a dog walker, come back tired, like just go in the other room and lay down. And we'd be like, where'd you go? Do we even have a dog? Like, yeah.
It is a weird balance. Like I have a pit bull and she's three. I got a bike so I could run her because walking wasn't doing it. Mark was not doing it.
Especially
and I'm
when like, young oh, like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, I can't like, you know, and pit bulls are already so needy. I'm like, stop looking at me. We already did everything and I'm done. And now some days I'm like, same thing. You're like, hey, what's going on? The dog's like, I'm not doing it because if I come over there at some point, you're going to make me leave. And so today is not the day for you.
I'm not falling for this again.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I made the mistake of going, I started doing nightly walks before I go to bed at night, just down the block a little bit. And taking Kai with me, and you know, it's night, there's hardly anybody out there. Well, there's nobody out there, but there's occasionally a car or whatever, but Kai's well trained, so you know, he heals and everything else. So we go out there and he's off leash, he's just wandering around sniffing all the sniffs and all that. And then last night it's been raining and he just got a bath, so I was like, I don't really feel like taking him out and letting him get muddy and stuff like that. And sure enough, as soon as I started getting dressed, he was like all ready to go. And then as soon as I came back, he just sat there and like huffed at me about five times, looking at me from across the room.
Like, why would you have left me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you care?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the post office here shortly. And I know Ray is just going to lay by the door the entire time I'm gone.
Is she a good car dog?
She is.
You could take her.
She is. It's a little warm here today to be doing that.
Mm.
I mean, it's not hot or anything, but I
just, nice for you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I can't take her into the post office with me. So,
yeah. I mean, when I go to the post office, which is probably going to be pretty often until I figure out my mailbox situation. I mean, if I didn't take Otis, it would just be cruel, you know, because he would just be like, he loves the car. Uh-huh. I'm only in there for a minute. Not that warm, you know, he's in the parking lot and just like so excited to be right. Like we're doing errands.
Loves being in the car. Sawyer hates the car. He loves going places once we're there, but when he's in
not
the car,
enjoying
he just the, lays down in the middle of the back seat and it's just like tell me when it's done.
Every dog I've ever owned was fine in a vehicle. This dog, any more than 20 minutes and she gets sick all in the car. So anytime I want to take the dog anywhere, I can't feed her for like 24 hours and then, or drink. I can't give water, nothing. Oh, wow. Cause it's just sick. Anything in the stomach comes up. So I've got to like starve out the dog, take the dog to wherever we're going, feed her just a little something so that she's not like sniffing at the kitchen, wherever we're at. And then make the trek back home again on empty stomach and then feed her. Cause otherwise it's just like
too much.
Can't take her anywhere. And I'm like, oh, I've tried every other thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I tried like giving her the whole seat, the floor, the thing. Like I tried all the tricks. And so this is the first dog I ever had to just gets car sick.
Yeah, I some friends of mine have a dog who's the same way, and it's really kind of an issue. It's not that they don't want to take the dog; they just are like,
yeah. At least Sawyer doesn't not having get a good sick. Time either. He's just miserable, but yeah, I had some friends who had a Weimaraner that was like that, where it'd throw up in the car. And it's like, well, on that happy note, let me announce that our new Patreon loyalty merch. Is available if you stay at the highest levels for 3 months. You can go to patreon.com/dtns to see which levels have these. You might get a sticker or a mug or a tote bag or a hoodie with Lem Peralta's DTNS logo on it. And there's one with just the logo, and then 3 months later you get the one with Sarah. 3 months later you get the one here I've got in my hand for with Roger on it. So it's just our little way of thanking you for sticking around. We'll send you some merch every 3 months.
Yay.
And I'm getting the new stuff. Looks really good. Thanks to Patreon for managing that stuff. Also, thanks to everybody who supports us on Patreon. We are down. It's that first of the year. Everybody's starting to cut back pledges. So we are down patrons on the month. So we're very, very pleased with everybody who becomes a new patron and everybody who's able to you know, bump up and give us a little extra. We really appreciate that. Big thanks to everybody on Twitch who supports us there. We have a new follow from View Seeker. We've got bits from Zoe Brings Bacon and Loki Robert, Aldi LDL and Psycho Motors. Net Guy Green, 32nd month, sending us more Prime Bucks. Bodgers SJ, 16th month. Gadget Virtuoso, 12th month. Gotham Heights, 10th month, writes how many days until spring? And we even got Len Peralta rating us earlier. Thank you, Len. Good to see that as well. That's going to be all for us except for the title. Let's look at the title, shall we? Top three vote getters for DTNS, BioCow, What the Flock, with an L, Batfink 2001, NVIDIA, Do No Arm, because they want to acquire it, so it would be doing no ARM. And JPEG 84, ARM is the Switzerland of the chip world.
We went with Stealth Dave, with a little modification from Tom. 8K, what is it good for right now?
All right.
Absolutely.
Perfection. GDI, top three vote getters, Batfink 2001, Tom bringing out the big puns, which is a pun on guns. BioCow, there are no chair underwear. And Zoe Brings Bacon, always explain your jokes.
We went with Stealth Dave again with his chair pants submission.
Chair pants. Just call it. Yeah. No, that's perfect.
Just keeping it simple.
Yeah, I like
you
it.
Know? It's what, you know,
it's,
you
what
know.
It's what cheerleaders wear. Chair pants.
Right. I think I found myself a cheerleader. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Thank you, Owen J.J. Stone.
Thank you.
Please come back.
If Sarah's here, I'll be here.
Talk to everybody. Have here. A good day.
Good day. Bye.
Good day. Good day. Good day.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more. Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.